Hello, assalamu alaikum. Good to see all of you. I have so much to tell you, and I'm starting, as you may know, I've talked about this. I'm starting for the first time in my life to do a YouTube channel where you actually see me. And if you know anything about me, personally, I'm actually a shy person. I normally hate to be on camera. Me and my dear brother, Professor Khalid Beydoun, both of us would rather not be on camera. But you know, with all of my platforms being penalized or banned or removed, it's just caused me to rethink something. And I had a conversation with some Muslim employees at YouTube and also at TikTok, and both of them spoke with me about doing a travel show. And this was all the way like in January. And when I first heard it, I was like, "What? Do you know me? Do you know how serious I am? What am I going to look like doing a travel show?" And what I learned, I never watched travel shows on YouTube. What I learned is that there's some of the most watched, most engaged shows. What they told me, they said, "Sean, there are no travel shows from the perspective that we think you could bring." So that was almost 7 months ago, and I've been thinking about it for the past 7 months. My family is now in Turkey, and I am in a place, I could cry. I may cry multiple times filming this video. One, the genocide in Gaza has made all of us deeply emotional. I've been very public about the fact that there have been times over these past 9 months where I have screamed and cried, rolled on the floor and cried. I've had to go to a bathroom or put my face into a pillow so that my wife and kids could not hear me. And so I was already a sensitive man, and because I'm sensitive, it's why I do the work I do. But I'm in a place here in Istanbul that I feel like Allah has knitted my heart to the place where I am today. And so I actually came here first. This is my third time here in 4 days. That's how much, now I'm here all by myself. It's my third time here in 4 days. That's how much I love it. I love this place so much, where I'm about to tell you all about it. I love this place so much that I'm going to try to come here every day I'm in Istanbul for the next month. We're traveling out of Istanbul a few times, but every day I'm in Istanbul, if I can be here even just for 5 minutes, I will. So we're in a place right now that may look very festive. Almost all of us who are here are happy in some kind of way, for a lot of reasons. But there's something very, very special about the place that I'm about to show you. Right here, you know, in Istanbul, while the city is 99% Muslim, this is a place where many devout Muslims come in a lot of ways to make our own kind of pilgrimage. Because here in Istanbul, and I've learned so much about this just over this past week. Here in Istanbul, one of the companions of our Prophet, peace be upon him, Abu Ayyub, is buried here. This was his final resting place in Istanbul. And I was so curious, like, how did this man, who was in his 90s and was a companion of our Prophet, peace be upon him, how did he end up in Istanbul? Why is he buried here? And my thought was, did he die in Mecca? Did he die in Medina? And he was moved here? No, the story is much more profound than that. You know, my dear brother, my imam, Dr. Shadi from New Brunswick Islamic Center back in New Jersey, I love him so much. You know, he told me, he said, "Sean, I think where you are, I think it's the most special place in all of Europe." It may surprise some of you, say, oh, I thought you were in Istanbul. How could you be in Europe? Well, half of Istanbul is in Europe. Half of Istanbul, just the city, half of the city is in Europe. Half of the city is in Asia. We're on the European side right now. This is close to where I'm staying, so it's easy for me to get here. I love it so much that if I could move here, I would. If I could move to this property, I would. That's how much I love it. In part, if you know me, I'm a new Muslim. We became Muslims during Ramadan. And so I've only been a Muslim, if my math is right, for almost 5 months. So I have not been able to make Hajj. I've not been able to make Umrah. And so this place is the closest I've been to our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The brother who is buried here, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, was a dear, dear companion, a part of the Sahaba of our Prophet. And I can't wait to show you what's here. And if you know me, I'm actually, people used to know me as the guy on Instagram. I'm not on Instagram. But more than anything else, I'm a father, I'm a husband, but I'm also a historian. My undergraduate and graduate degrees are in history. And so when I travel and go places, a lot of what I hope to show you is the history of that place. I'm also obviously going to be talking about the politics of that place. And I want people to be able to see a deeper part of what's going on. And today I'm going to show you as much of it as I can. And I really want you to learn and understand just how beautiful and special this place is. So as you may know, our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was alive on this earth. He was never able to step foot here in Istanbul. And in fact, during his lifetime, this place was not called Istanbul. Instead, it was called, do you know? It was called Constantinople. And he told his companions, he told the Sahaba, he told the Muslims of the day that one day this city, Constantinople, it was a prophecy that one day this city would be opened up to Muslims. And indeed, it has been, obviously. And the dear brother here, Abu Ayyub, I'm gonna go in and show you all about it. I'm doing all the filming myself, okay? And so I'm gonna turn around and show you just what I see. I'm in a courtyard right now, and this is outside of the, there are just wonderful shops. There's a beautiful energy here. This is a very Islamic audience and crowd because of what this place is. There's a beautiful mosque that I'll take us to. I'll go there to pray here in just a few minutes. But I want to show you, I'm going to show you around and show you just how beautiful and special this place is. Again, this is my third visit, and we brought our whole family's here with us, and so we brought our daughter Tay, who just very recently became a Muslim. We brought her here yesterday. My wife and I were here maybe the day before that, and I'm going to be able to show you his final resting place, and I want to tell you about Abu Ayyub. If you don't know who Abu Ayyub is, it was Abu Ayyub who invited the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, into his home in Medina. It's actually a beautiful story. The Prophet, for all intents and purposes, was a refugee. He could no longer stay in Mecca. Mecca was, the people of Mecca at the time were abusive. And I mean, so many harsh things happened to him there. And so as he went to Medina on a camel, as you would, he said to the people, because everyone there in Medina, they welcomed him in so many ways. Everyone wanted him in their home. They wanted to host him and host his family. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I'll allow Allah to use the camel. And wherever the camel stops, Allah will choose that place to be my home. It was a beautiful way to do it, to say, no, I'm not choosing the rich man. I'm not choosing the powerful man. But I'll use a humble camel. And Allah will use this camel. And wherever the camel stops, it doesn't matter if it's a hut, a tent, doesn't matter where it is, wherever we are, that's where I will call my home. And the camel indeed stopped in front of the home of Abu Ayyub. And when the camel stopped there, Abu Ayyub was so touched and so thrilled that the Prophet of Allah chose to be there, or that Allah chose the home of Abu Ayyub. And it's just a powerful thing. He was overwhelmed with joy and he welcomed him into his home. And in about 690, you know, forgive me, I've done a crash course on Abu Ayyub here over the past few days. Forgive me if I have the date not exactly correct. In about 690, they decided to, our Prophet, peace be upon him, had already passed away, but the companions and the Muslims of the day wanted to fulfill that prophecy and wanted to open up Constantinople to Muslims. And Abu Ayyub, who was in his 90s, said, I want to be on the front lines. He said, it wasn't that he was a fighter, he was 90 years old. But you have to understand, Abu Ayyub was one of the few people who could say he physically was a part of every single battle that our Prophet, peace be upon him, was a part of. And so there was no way that the Muslims of the day were going to go to Constantinople and he was not going to be a part of it, even though he was in his 90s. That courage, that bravery, oh, it touched me when I think about how desperate all of us are to see justice happen to Palestine, to Gaza, to the West Bank, to Jerusalem, to all of the land. May we have the heart, the spirit, the energy of Abu Ayyub, who even at the age of 90 said, put me on the front lines. And that is, even this week has been my prayer to Allah, Allah, please show me how to be on the front lines for our people in Gaza. Show me how. How can I be on, how can you who are watching this, how can you be on the front lines? How can we be like Abu Ayyub? And Abu Ayyub made that trek from Medina all the way to Constantinople. They didn't fly. I mean, this was a very, you know, enormous trek to go from Medina to Constantinople. After he was here, we believe for a few months, he passed away and was buried here. And did they win that battle? No, they didn't. In fact, they didn't win the battle in 690, not in the 700s, 800s, 900s, not in the year 1000, not in the 1100s, 1200s, 1300s. It was all the way in the 1400s. You know, 700 years later, 7 centuries later, that Muslims finally opened up Constantinople. And Abu Ayyub, who passed away in 690, buried here, is a testament to the prophecy of our Prophet Muhammad and the promise of Allah, that sometimes when Allah makes us a promise, you physically may not see it with your eyes, but Abu Ayyub knew it would happen. And so there are some things that, sisters and brothers, that we may not get to see, but it's still a promise. It may not happen right now. So let me show you. There's some beautiful things here, some things I had never seen before as a new Muslim. Let me show you. For instance, I had never seen that we could do wudu outside like this. And we just found it. This is like an ancient wudu station. And you see our dear brother here is washing his feet. For those of you who are not Muslims, you may not know, but before we pray, we wash virtually our entire body. And there is a private wudu station for women behind me. This is a, right here is a wudu station for men. I was able to wash here. Before I go to pray, I was able earlier to wash everything but my feet. So I will wash my feet here. Let me take you in to a very, very solemn place. I'll have to speak quietly because this is the tomb of Abu Ayyub. And when we go here, it is the tradition that we greet our dear brother Abu Ayyub and say, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Habibi, and greet him. And it is, this is where I could cry because it is our belief, it's our hope that on the day of judgment, when we all face Allah, that Abu Ayyub will be able to say to Allah that, let me just show you, that Abu Ayyub would be able to say to Allah that this sister, that brother, this sister, that each of them, yes, Allah, I heard them pray. They believe in you. If it's even this possible, that Abu Ayyub, the beloved companion of the Prophet, who welcomed the Prophet into his home, I have three stories in a minute that I'm going to share about Abu Ayyub to you. I have to show you this special place first. But if there's even this much of a chance that on the day of judgment, Abu Ayyub, who was called the beloved of the beloved of Allah, that is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was beloved by Allah, but that Abu Ayyub was beloved by our Prophet, peace be upon him, the beloved of the beloved, the beloved of the beloved, that if on the day of judgment there's even this much chance that Abu Ayyub, I'm holding my emotion, could say to Allah, oh Allah, I saw Sean King. I heard him say the Shahada. And I heard this, I witnessed this. If there's even a remote possibility that that could happen, then I want to be a part of it. Let me show you, okay? We're walking now into the tomb of Abu Ayyub. There are also some very special things here that I want to show you. It is custom before we go in to take our shoes off, just as we would do in the mosque or anywhere else. And so I want to show you. One second. So, you know, I've never been to Mecca. I've never been to Medina. And so some of the things that I'm about to show you, it made it real for me in such a profound way, and I can't wait for you to see it. So I have my shoes in one hand and the camera in the other, okay? Let me show you. So we're walking in now to the tomb of our dear brother, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. He was a part of the Ansar, the men and women of Medina who cared deeply for our Prophet. There are some things here that are very, very important. I'm going to speak quietly and reverently. There's a case right here. There's a rope line that we can't go past just for security. But in the case, there are, and these have all been, there is a verification system in Islam. Just as we verify the hadiths, there is a verification system for relics here that belong to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. There are hairs from his beard. There are leaves from a tree in his yard. And I have so much more to tell you, okay? But first, let me show you. Our dear sisters and brothers here are praying to Allah, thanking them for Abu Ayyub, thanking them for the companion and his love for our Prophet, peace be upon him. And so it's a very reverent place. You can see the beautiful mosaics on the wall. And here are several relics that I was telling you about, including hairs from a beard. There's just several different things that belonged to the Prophet or were, peace be upon him, or were near the Prophet. And so when you're here, it's a place of deep reverence. And so let me show you. Our sisters and brothers are praying. And so I want you to see this. And my hope is that eventually you'll be able to see this for yourself and experience it. Here, beyond the gate, is the tomb of Abu Ayyub. And I will say much of my prayer silently, but I want to say, so you can hear it, Assalamu alaikum, Abu Ayyub. Assalamu alaikum, Habibi. Peace be upon you. And just a beautiful, beautiful place. We have security. We have a brother here doing a recitation, and here our sisters and brothers are praying and reverent. They're reflecting, and many of you, I'll show you. I'm not yet able to read the Arabic script, but for those of you who can, I just want you to see the script, okay? And for many of you who are unable to travel here, I just want you to be able to share in this moment with us, all right? It's a beautiful, beautiful place. There's so many stories about Abu Ayyub that I want to tell you. There are three that I have to tell you right away, okay? But just a deeply, deeply reverent place. Before we leave, just one last time, just beyond these walls, the resting place, the temporary resting place of Abu Ayyub. I say temporary because one day we believe that we will meet Allah and we will be here no more. So I'm putting my shoes down and I want to show you around, and in just a few moments I'll show you the masjid. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. And we don't step our feet on the carpet or in the space, but just a beautiful, beautiful place. And so because one of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, because one of the companions is here, so much has built up around this area. And so behind me is just beautiful, beautiful mosque. I'm going to go in there later and pray. I won't film the prayer, but I will show you the masjid. And outside of here, we now have a cemetery of, let me show you. Let's see if I can flip the camera. One second. We have a wonderful cemetery, and one of our tour guides was able to teach us, you know, what the symbols mean on the tops of each on the tops of each of the markers. Each thing means something different. It could mean that you were a leader or a scholar. It could mean that you were a teacher. It could mean that you. There are markings that tell us whether or not it's a man or it's a woman, if you spent a lot of time in the mosque, if you were known to be a student of the Quran. And so all around, let me show you, all around where I am, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of graves from the 1400s, 1500s, of scholars, of imams, of teachers, of those who all loved Allah and loved our Prophet, peace be upon him. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. Are you familiar with Abu Ayyub? You know, when I first became a Muslim, I heard all about Omar. I heard all about Hamza. Of course, I heard all about Abu Bakr. I heard all about Aisha. I heard all about so many important men and women. And yet, I had not heard of Abu Ayyub. I have not yet read all of the Quran. I'm just now really learning all of the stories, just the beautiful, rich narratives of the Prophet and his, peace be upon him, and his companions. But Abu Ayyub is special. And oh, that me and you could live the life, could have the heart of Abu Ayyub. Let me show you. This is right outside of the tomb of Abu Ayyub, and I hope that many of you are able to read and understand what that says. Forgive me for not being able to just yet, but we, my wife and I and our guides, we took a tour of the cemetery as well, but I want to show you inside of the masjid. But before I do, I have a couple wonderful stories about Abu Ayyub, and what a man, what a man. First, when he had a chance to welcome the Prophet into his home, he was so humbled that he wanted the Prophet, peace be upon him, to have whatever rooms he wanted. Do you want to be on the second floor? Do you want to be on the first floor? Do you want the master bedroom? Do you want the guest bedroom? Whatever you want, it's yours. And he welcomed him into his home, not for days, not for weeks, not even just for months, but for several seasons of that year. And eventually, the land that is now, I just saw this picture in a beautiful, beautiful sermon from my imam and my dear brother, Sheikh Omar Suleiman. Just a century ago, the actual home of Abu Ayyub still existed. I regret that it does not exist today. It was taken down to make room for new areas to be built in Medina, but the pictures still remain. And the picture that I saw of the home of Abu Ayyub, it is literally almost touching the Prophet's mosque. And I mean, it is right there. So in Medina, at the Prophet's mosque, the home of Abu Ayyub was just right there. So if I'm standing in the home of Abu Ayyub, the Prophet's mosque would just be right there. Like, it's right there. And it's there because the land that was given to the Prophet and his family, peace be upon them, Abu Ayyub gave them that land. Imagine all of the blessings on Abu Ayyub because of all the wonderful things, all of the blessings that have happened in the Prophet's mosque on land given to our Prophet, peace be upon him, by Abu Ayyub. My dear brother, Imam Omar Suleiman, in a series that he has called The First, which has taught me so much. I'll try to link it here under the video because everything I'm telling you, he will tell you, but actually a whole lot better and in a way that's a whole lot more skilled than I can. There are a few stories that I want to tell you. One is a beautiful, just amazing story. Abu Ayyub was outside of his home and saw that both Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Omar and Abu Bakr were all hungry. And he invited them all into his home to eat. And they were living very, very humble lives. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, and Omar and Abu Bakr, they were humble men. They had not eaten meat in months. And Abu Ayyub literally slaughtered a lamb and began preparing the meal for them. And one of the first things that our Prophet, peace be upon him, said is, please hold on. I want to give my portion to my daughter because she has not eaten like this in months. And I would rather her have this than me. And later, in a meal that Abu Ayyub had prepared for four people, that meal that was designed for four people, this was the miracle of our Prophet, peace be upon him, almost 200 people were fed by that meal. Just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so it was one of the early miracles of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that when Abu Ayyub prepared the meal, it didn't just feed four people, but it fed nearly 200 people, including the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and others. And so what a blessing. I'm here with some brothers. Hello. Hello. Salam alaikum.
Are you a YouTuber?
I'm Sean King.
Oh, Sean King.
Yes, I'm Sean. Yes, good
nice
to see
to
you.
Nice
yes,
to
yes. What's your name?
Abdulrahman.
Yeah, good to meet you. Yes, yes. Salam alaikum. I'm Sean. Yeah, good to see you. I'm telling my family and friends and others about the story of Abu Ayyub.
MashaAllah.
Yes, yes. And for people who aren't able to travel to Istanbul, I want them to know just the beautiful story of Abu Ayyub. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good to see you, brothers. Yeah, thank you, brother. Yes. And so, you know, just, yeah, salam alaikum. Good to see you. Salam alaikum.
What is this? What is this?
Yes, I'm telling people the story of Abu Ayyub.
Moment,
and just, you speak English? A little? I'm just, I'm filming me telling people the story of Abu Ayyub. And because a lot of people aren't able to make it here to Istanbul, and I want them to see the tomb and the mosque, and I'm telling them the story of Abu Ayyub. Can you tell him?
Where are you from?
From the United States, from New York?
New York.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Very good.
I've only been a Muslim for 5 months.
You Muslim?
Yes. 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 So yeah, I'm very happy, and I'm just wanting to tell people how beautiful Abu Ayyub was. Yes. Yes, my name is Sean King.
Sean King.
Yes. Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Good to see you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Kolay gelsin. Kolay gelsin.
Have a nice day.
Yes, you have a nice day. Bye. Yeah, thank you. Assalamu alaikum. This is the beauty of Islam. That we're strangers, but you know, when they're curious because they see the camera, but everyone here is so happy, and we trust each other, and we're wanting to they're just wanting to see what is he filming, what is he talking about. A dear sister from Gaza recognized me, and I wouldn't film this, but recognized me just earlier. And she began crying and telling me, thanking me for my support. And several people who were not Muslims and did not recognize me came up and was like, are you famous? They thought I was, because they asked me, they said, why did she cry when she saw you? And they said, are you famous? And they're like, are you a singer? I was like, no, if you ever heard me try to sing, you would know I'm a terrible singer. But we are here in the area of Abu Ayyub, not just to celebrate Abu Ayyub, but to celebrate his devotion to Islam, to celebrate his love of our Prophet, peace be upon him. And so Abu Ayyub fixed a meal for Omar, fixed a meal for Abu Bakr, fixed a meal for the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And it was a meal for four people, but it fed nearly 200 people. This is a miracle from Allah. And there's so many stories. Another one that I loved, Abu Ayyub, inside of the masjid, heard people speaking ill of our Prophet, peace be upon him. And he literally grabbed a man by the collar and dragged him out of the masjid. Said, you know, you will not speak ill of the Prophet in this place. You will not. And one more story. Abu Ayyub, this is actually in the Quran. We have things in Islam called hadiths. These are sacred texts that have what we would, like what I would call provenance, like documented, verified proof of scholars and witnesses, because there are many stories that cannot make the hadiths. They have not been verified. But those that can be verified are. And there is a story that's not just a hadith, but is actually a story that made the Quran, which is our sacred text. And in that story, someone was speaking ill of, there's a beautiful cat that just walked past me. Someone was speaking ill of our dear sister Aisha, our mother Aisha. And Abu Ayyub asked the woman, he said, is the thing that you're saying about her and the thing that everyone is saying about her, is that something you would do? And the sister said, no, of course not. And this thing had gone viral, like the equivalent of being retweeted and shared. And Abu Ayyub said to the sister, would you do the thing that you're saying our sister Aisha did? And the sister said, no, of course not. And Abu Ayyub said, but she is a better woman than you are. So if you would not do it, and Aisha is a better woman than you, then surely you understand how that math works. The math doesn't work at all. That if you would not do it, and Aisha is a better woman than you, she did not do it. It was a lie. Gossip. And gossip is dangerous. They've turned on the lights, which have given it a bit of a glow here. But Abu Ayyub, I told you, fought side by side with the companions, the Sahaba, in every single battle, without fail, every single battle alongside, on the front lines alongside our Prophet, peace be upon him. He was there, not just in battle, he was there in conflict, he was there in controversy, he was a comforter, a provider, a friend. Oh, to be called the beloved of the beloved. What better compliment? Could you imagine that Allah sees you as the beloved of the beloved? Oh, if I could have a fraction of that dedication and devotion that we see from our brother Abu Ayyub, please, I want it. I'm just going to show you. This will be my final moments as I close. I'm going to show you inside of the masjid, and then I'm going to turn the camera off and pray. All right? Love and appreciate all of you. So a beautiful, beautiful place. I'm sitting down to take off my shoes. But just a special, special place to know that our brother Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari, that he had the faith, the dedication, the courage at age 90 that many of us don't have at age 20, at age 30, at age 44, at age 44, that at age 90, he said, I want to be a part of fulfilling the prophecy of our prophet, that peace be upon him, that the Constantinople will be opened to Muslims, and that this has been a beautiful, beautiful city for Muslims now for hundreds and hundreds of years. Yes, it's had its, like any city, it's had its ups and downs, its challenges, its highs, its lows. There's so much beauty and so much history here. I'm gonna show you inside of the masjid, and then I'll say goodbye, okay? It's going to be a call to prayer soon, and hopefully you'll get some of that as well, okay? Let me show you. Yes, it's so beautiful. Here in Istanbul, there's so many just beautiful, beautiful masjids that are, I mean, some, there's one masjid here in Istanbul that can seat 65,000 people. And so this, compared to those, may be small, but it has an energy and a spirit, because we know that it is built in many ways to celebrate Islam, to celebrate our Prophet, peace be upon him, and to celebrate one of his companions, Brother Abu Ayyub Habibi. Just gorgeous. And right now our sisters and brothers are just reverently, it's not prayer time yet, and our sisters and brothers are just sitting here reverently, in many ways, waiting for the call to prayer. And it's special. Islam is beautiful. At the root of, let me show you my face. Peace is at the root of our faith. Anybody that says anything else is lying. It's a beautiful, beautiful way of life. Religion should be a way of life, ideally, but Islam is a way of life. Islam is not a service you go to. Islam is not a box that you check, but it is a way that we live our lives, and it's changed me deeply in just these few months. I'll say to you something, for those of you who've stayed around. Many people have recognized me here in Istanbul, and it's, you know, even just right before I started filming, someone said, Sean, we miss you so much on Instagram. And I miss being able to be there to do what I did. And at first I was bitter. I spent over 10 years building, not an account, I built a community of 6 million people from 150 countries. And it was some of my life's work. I'd raised millions of dollars for causes and charity. And at first I was hurt and I was bitter, but now I've grown to think differently about it. I've grown to think that when I lost my Instagram account, it removed so much noise from my life, good noise and bad, that I was able to hear and listen and reflect. I don't know that I would be a Muslim today had they not taken that account away. Alhamdulillah. Because they took that account away, I was able to consider, who am I? Where am I? What am I? And who will I be for the rest of my life? I don't trust myself enough to believe that I would have ever become a Muslim if I had never lost that account. I would probably still be on Instagram, chugging, pushing. I was working day and night, sharing stories, translating messages. But they removed something, and what they did was unjust. But if you know Allah, Allah can even use injustice to do something beautiful. And people started telling me, they said, Sean, you may have lost 6 million followers, but you gained 2 billion sisters and brothers all over the world. Mashallah. And I would make that trade 100 times out of 100. If someone said to me today, Sean, you could either accept Islam or be on Instagram, which would you choose? It's no choice. I'm choosing Islam. I'm choosing Allah. I'm choosing the message of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I'm choosing to learn about the companions of the Prophet like Abu Ayyub. That's richer, deeper, better than an Instagram account with 100 million followers. I would rather be a Muslim than own Instagram. I would rather be a Muslim than own Meta. This is no trade at all. And so I won. They meant it for wrong, but Allah used it for good. And so, sisters and brothers, I'm going to get ready for prayer. And I'm going to wait here for a few moments. And for those of you who want to stay while we hear the call to prayer, I will, I'll continue filming. But I would like to even begin getting myself ready, my heart and mind ready for prayer. I love you all. I appreciate you. This is, if my time is right, it's about 46 minutes. I don't know how to edit videos, so I'm doing it all in one take. It won't always be like this, inshallah. One day we'll have editors, and one day maybe there'll be a cameraman here on this channel. But for now, it's me and a little camera that I have in my hand. And but I'm happy. In my soul, I'm happy. In my heart, I'm happy. In my mind, I'm happy. In my mouth, I'm happy, because we are with Allah. The only thing that breaks my heart is that there's still so much suffering and pain and evil and ugliness in this world. And I think even now as I pray, I will be praying for our sisters and brothers in Gaza. I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for our sisters and brothers in the West Bank. I'll be praying for our sisters and brothers in Sudan, in Congo. I'll be praying for oppressed people everywhere, for Kashmiris, for our Uyghur sisters and brothers. I'll be praying for the Ummah. And please, I ask that you also pray for me, and that you join me in all of these prayers for oppressed people, that Allah sustain them, provide for them. Please, please, Allah, give them strength, give them provision, give them freedom. And I will say these prayers with all of you, okay? Let me show you. I'm gonna take a seat, and I'll show you around, and then I'll be silent. And when the call to prayer begins, I was told it's best not to speak. Assalamu alaikum.